Hello. Good evening, folks. Saints, can everybody hear me? All right, then. Except for that last cut, my friends and I got together here in Boscobel and put together those first three cuts. I had a little cold, so I hope that didn't come off, but I think they were pretty good. All right, well, good evening, fellow Saints. Welcome to the Koine Greek study tonight, a study in God's chosen language for his awesome New Testament. I mean, I don't know, we have the capabilities to study this language, and we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Scriptures, and we have the love of God. You can't get much better than that. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to go through Lesson 6, and what I plan to do is I decided that we spent a lot of time on the first five lessons. That's very good. We were in there for over 2 years, and, my mind said, well, maybe we're going to try something a little different because we're not getting any younger, and I think that Ronnie, Tony, and Gary can attest to that. That certainly we're not getting any younger. And so what I decided to do is I decided to go through a number of lessons every week. Speak for myself. And that Tony, man, he's ornery. He's an ornery one. And what I'm going to do is, like today, we're going to go through lesson 6, and then the next two times we're going to go through lesson 7, and then the next time we're going to go through lesson 8, and then what I want to do is I want to present, material of the Koine Greek. So far we've gone through two declensions of nouns. We've gone through how verbs are two conjugations of verbs. We've gone through the alphabet. We've gone through cases, voice, a number of other things. And, there's much more to go through. So tonight we're going to be going through adjectives. And then what we're going to do is we're just going to dispense with the exercises at the end. And we're going to go on to lesson 7. By the way, the next Greek class is next week. Yeah, next week, Saturday. So we're going to go through lesson 7 next week. Yeah, I'm going to take a little bit of a different approach to this. But, like we're going to see today, as far as adjectives are concerned, it all does make sense. Thing of it is that I particularly think that, and I know, that what would really help is to have a love for this language. Like, let's say you would say, oh, I love to go bird hunting. Or let's say you would say, I love eating pizza. Well, the same idea, if you applied it to this language, would make things a lot easier in that sense. If you really... and that's something that each of us, has to decide, or however we want to work that. But I think the Lord can help us out there. So I think that it would really help if we eventually gain a love for the language, then it wouldn't seem so hard to understand or so different, or how, whatever words you want to put to that. Well, at any rate, let's turn to page 42. And today, actually, I want to say this before we begin. Do all of you have a Byzantine Greek New Testament? If you do, I want you to get it. All right? If you do, yeah, get it now. And if you have a Greek-English interlinear, that is, you have the New Testament in Greek and English. Get that too. Because we're going to be going into three passages of the scriptures tonight. All right, so I'll give you a couple of minutes. Go get your Byzantine text, which all it is just straight Koine Greek. And then if you have a Greek-English interlinear, get that too. So I'll just wait a couple minutes. And then when you get whatever you got, you just come back and throw your name up there and go, okay. Well, pages in the Byzantine are going to be, they're going to be out of three books, Matthew, Romans, and John. Matthew, Romans, and John. The Gospel of John, as people say. And we're going to be looking at, you know, just some Koine, dealing with some adjectives there tonight. So now, tonight is going to be the first night that we're going to get into the scriptures and themselves. And as a matter of fact, I think that's a good idea. Now, one of the reasons why I want to go to, why I want to get through chapter 7, and why I want to continue through chapter 8 in this text is because chapter 8 has to do with prepositions. Very important. And at the end of chapter 8, or towards the end of chapter 8, I hope. Hold on a second. Well, actually, it's chapter 9. Alexandrian, okay, and Sinaiticus, okay. Okay. Okay, well, I'll get Ronnie a Byzantine. What Ronnie has is he's got codexes that all they have is the capital letters. Oh no! I got 15 of them, so I'll send one to Ronnie. I got 15 brand new ones. Byzantine. It's a Greek translation of the New Testament scriptures, all in Greek. That's all right. And you know, but Ronnie, do you have an interlinear? Yeah, great. Well, that'll be good. That's good. It might be important that you guys have an interlinear. All right? So, I'll get it. Good. All right? So, I think Doherty's ready, and we're going to wait on the rest of you guys. Why? Why is it good to have an interlinear? Well, because you can see the King James Version on the right, and then you have the actual Greek laid out for you in sentences, and underneath is the English. So you actually can go form by form and see what Greek form is translated by what English word. It's excellent. Yeah, so that's why having a good interlinear is good. So we'll wait a couple minutes. It seems like Doherty's ready. And then, you know, whatever you guys can find. If you can find it, great. If you can't, that's okay too. But I suppose I should have told you. That's good. Nestle's is okay. I suppose I should have told you guys. Berries, that's fine. Good. 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 Gotta wait for Tony and Gary here, see what they got. You know, I mean, this isn't, okay, good, Tony. This isn't, it's just something so that you can see what you can see extra credits. Yeah, we no interlinear. That's okay, Gary. Credit. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you guys can see, Gary, you have a you have a Byzantine text? Yes. Okay. Good. Well, I think we're all sort of on the same page now. And so what I'm going to do is this: is that next two times it's going to be in chapter 7. Then the next time it's going to be in chapter 8. And then the next time it's going to be in chapter 9. Yeah, believe it or not. So we're going to get all the way. We're going to go chapter 6 tonight, chapter 7 for 2 weeks, chapter 8 for a week, and chapter 9 for a week. And at the end of chapter 9, there's 15 examples of New Testament scriptures. And I really think that and I really think that it's important to now associate associate some of the things that we've learned with the actual scriptures. That's why. And so you know, I mean, even if like some of these paradigms, okay, like if you look on page 43, go ahead and do that. Speaking of adjectives, we have three boxes of paradigms again. Well, you're like, oh man, you know, what am I supposed to be, Albert Einstein here, to you know, remember all these suffixes and all that? No. You know, the point of this is that, and I don't think anybody can, you know, but see, as we go through this, you'll at least gain some knowledge of what a noun is, what a verb is, what their endings are, and then what an adjective is, what their endings are, and then you're going to start piecing this together. All right, and, you know, I mean, you know, I really don't want to seem like a grandma every week and say, you guys are going to have to do the work or else you're not going to get anything out of it. You know, I'm just going to, after a while, you know, this is sort of like a college class, no doubt about it. And after a while, hey, you're just going to, you know, we're going to just move on and, you know, it's going to take work on your part, just like studying the scriptures. So, you know, rather than harping on that, and I'm not Mr. Perfection at all, yeah, it's your responsibility. So, what you're going to find out tonight is, well, you're going to find out about adjectives. So let's get rolling, okay? So on page 42, okay, adjectives of the first and second declensions. Well, where have we seen first and second declensions before? Well, we know that nouns in the New Testament are of first and second declension. And we notice that nouns of the second declension are the most popular in the New Testament. So now we're going to get into Greek forms or adjectives that are going to modify nouns. And that's really important. And we'll see that adjectives, I'm going to read on 42 now. Page 42, adjectives constitute one of the most prominent classes of words in the New Testament, that is the English New Testament, and provide a prolific area of discriminative study. Well, we should say hallelujah. This lesson introduces the paradigms. That's what these gray boxes are. They tell you about the number and the gender. This lesson introduces the paradigms of the first and second declension adjectives as well as the more characteristic features of the Koine Greek use of the adjective. Going on, the inflection of adjectives. An adjective is a word that describes a noun, as in the good apostle, evil servants, the gift is beautiful, and so forth. That's nice. A Greek adjective, Koine Greek adjective, agrees with the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case. Gender, number, and case. We know about that. Gender, you know, masculine, feminine, neuter. Number would be singular or plural, and case would be nominative, accusative, genitive. And what's the last one that we have to know? Four cases. Let's turn to that. Shows you what I know. We have to learn four cases, and they're included in here. I should have had this marked off. Here we are, page 27. Dative, thank you. Going back to, nominative, genitive, dative, and accusative. Now, that's something that you should hammer into your head. We have gender, we have number, and we have case, amongst other things. And you should hammer this in your head. Nominative is the subject of the sentence. Genitive is the possessor, the case of possession. Dative is the indirect object. And accusative is the object. Hammer those into your head. Because then when nominative or genitive or accusative or dative come up, you're not like, what does that mean? It's not that hard to understand. You know, indirect object, direct object, possessor, and representing the subject, that's not hard to understand. All right, so hammer that into your head. So turning back to page 42, we understand adjectives agree with the noun that it modifies in gender, number, and case. Most adjectives will therefore have 24 forms like the article. Well, what's the article? Turn to page 37. This is something that you should also remember. Page 37, the article, or the definite article. Look on page 37. You'll find the article, four cases, three genders, singular and plural, you'll notice there. And we're going to just go through this. Notice that box there. You should have this in your mind, because you're going to see these in the Koine Greek New Testament all over the place. We have the singular definite articles in nominative, genitive, dative, and accusative. In the masculine, this is how it's pronounced. Ha, to, or I'm sorry, ha, to, that should be, to, ton. In the feminine, it's hey, tase, tay, tane. These are all the singular. In the neuter, it's ta, to, to, ta. And so, you know, let's go to the plural. Plural in the masculine, nominative, genitive, dative, accusative, you can see that. It's hoi, hon, tois, tous. In the feminine, it's hei, or actually that's hai, ton, tais, tas. Hai, ton, tais, tas. And in the neuter, plural, it's ta, ton, tois, ta. And you know, this is a lot of memorization, no doubt, but these definite articles agree with the nouns, which agree with the adjectives. So what you should do is you should take that definite article box and write it out on a page and get to know the four cases, the four three genders, and the singular and plural, okay? All right. You know, because that is certainly all over the Koine Greek New Testament. So those are the articles. These adjectives, going back to page 42, are called three termination adjectives. Since they have inflections for masculine, feminine, and neuter genders. Now, you'll notice that on page 43 you have two paradigms that are three termination endings. Notice that the first two boxes on page 43 have masculine, feminine, and neuter. Those are called three termination adjectives. And then the last box, the third box on page 43, we'll get to that, is called a two termination adjective. So, a three termination adjective has three genders. A two termination adjective has two genders. All right? Going back to page 42 in the middle, a smaller number of two termination adjectives have no separate forms for feminine, but instead use the masculine form for both masculine and feminine. This category frequently includes compound adjectives, that is, adjectives that are a compound of two or more constituent parts, as in the example here of adunatas, adunatas, which means impossible. Pronounce that word to yourself, that form, adunatas. It's not adunatas, it's not adunatas, it's adunatas, adunatas, because that's where the accent is. You see that? Adunatas, impossible. Learn to enunciate every Koine Greek word as correctly as possible, because then you're going to be learning the best. That is to say, from the Holy Spirit, you'll be learning 100% correctly. You know, why be anything less? Last paragraph on page 42, it says, the great majority of Koine Greek New Testament adjectives, that is 546, or 85% of them, are three termination adjectives. That means they have three genders of the first and second declensions. In this pattern, the feminine forms of the adjective follow the first declension. And, okay, so let's turn back. That isn't page 38, that's number 38. So let's turn back to page 35. Turn back to page 35. And what Dr. Black said here is that in the three termination adjective, the feminine form of the adjectives follows the first declension. That is, first declension noun ending. So let's turn back to page 38. Oh, 35, I'm sorry. 35. And we notice that these are nouns of the first declension, feminine and masculine, in the singular and plural. All right? Singular on page 35, plural on page 36. So what you do is you write these two boxes of these paradigms also with the definite article. You write these boxes out on a page so that you are writing them, so that as you write them, they go into your mind. And then, like we did with the definite articles on page 37, you write the endings for the nouns of the first declension. All right? And then let's go back on page 42. Go back. Go back on page 42, and it says, and the masculine and neuter forms follow the second declension. Now look on page 28. Okay, on page 28, turn to page 28. You have paradigms, you have the suffix ending of second declension nouns. You take those two boxes and you write those down on a separate sheet of paper. Well, maybe if you had a big sheet of paper, you could write all of these down right in front of you. You could write down so far the definite articles and their ending. You could write down the first declension nouns and their endings. And then you would write down the second declension nouns and their endings. Why are we doing this? Because, as we'll see, turning back to page 43, as we'll see on page 43, we have adjectives that have endings in the first and second declension. And so as you write these down, you'll be able to compare adjectives, nouns, definite articles. Do you understand? You'll have definite articles, their endings, genders, cases. You'll have nouns, gender, cases, number in front of you. And then you'll have adjectives, and you'll start seeing the endings fitting together. All right? You have to do that. Yeah, you know, there's just no way around it unless you've got a pretty well-tuned photographic memory. All right. So then, we'll finish off with the end of page 42. When the stem of the adjective ends in epsilon, iota, or rho, the feminine singular will use alpha as in a hemata noun. Otherwise, it will be beta, as in phoné. So, what we have to do is we have to remember what we should have learned in the past, and that, you know, this is going to take a lot of going over. But the thing of it is this. You could say to yourself, well, how can anybody, even a smart person, remember all of this? Well, I don't think you really can. I don't think you really can unless, like I said, you have a phenomenal memory, a photographic memory. But it's like this. What you can do is when you are studying the Koine, this text that you have is a very good reference material. It's a reference guide for you. That is to say, when you're looking at, let's say, an interlinear, and you're, you know, studying your interlinear, and you see these English words, and you see Greek forms on top, and you're wondering why the Greek forms look as they do. Well, you can figure it out. You can figure out why a Greek form has a particular ending. You can figure out by this text that you have why a particular definite article is the way it is. Do you understand what I'm saying? So while you're studying, I wouldn't get all frustrated and everything. We're just going to take it as it comes, and you just have to have your mind get saturated with these things. So don't get all wound out of shape. Don't say, well, I'll never do all of this. Just, you know, you're going to have to write it. You're going to have to look at it. You're going to have to put energy into it. But it'll come as you go. You know, and as I've said before, the best people in the world at anything they practice things in a maddening way. They practice so much, it's hard to believe how much they practice. And, you know, these are people of the world. So we can use that as an example. So don't freak out over all of these endings or anything. But what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to get into your mind that adjectives and nouns and definite articles all go together. They all go together, and you can see that. You can start seeing that, okay? All right, turn the page. Page 44. And this is excellent because, you know, this knowledge here that we're going to look over in the next half an hour or so is really beautiful stuff. It is. Just come on with me and let's take a look at Koine Greek adjective. It's beautiful. It really is. And, God Almighty decided to use this language, all right? So we could say, well, as we're looking into this, we could say, okay, well, our Lord and our God decided to use this language, and we're going to study the adjectives of this language, and here we go. All right, page 44. Greek adjectives are used, Koine Greek adjectives are used in three distinct ways. Attributively, predicatively, I was trying to pronounce that, predicatively, and substantively. Attributively, predicatively, and substantively. There we go. Substantively. Try to say that five times quickly. Okay. Attributively, predicatively, and substantively. All right, good. Okay, let's go on. The attributive adjectives. Let's take a good look at this. This is beautiful stuff. I wrote down here, important and interesting. The attributive adjective attributes a quality to the noun it modifies. That is to say, as in ha, agathos, anthropos. Ha, agathos, anthropos. The good man. Notice that the adjective, in this example, stands between the definite article, which is ha, and the noun, which is anthropos. Ha, agathos, anthropos. The good man. And this is an example of an attributive adjective. This position is called the ascriptive attributive position. Well, you know, we don't have to lock that into memory, but to know that ha agathos anthropos, the good man, is an example of an attributive adjective. A Greek adjective may also follow the noun, though in this case the adjective as well as the noun must have the article, as in ha anthropos, ha agathos. Ha anthropos, ha agathos. Now you notice that that's different than ha agathos anthropos above. We have two definite articles here, but it's still an attributive. It's still an attributive adjective. It means the good man. Ha agathos, ha anthropos, ha agathos, the good man. Literally, it means the man, the good one. All right, but it's still attributive. This latter position is called the restrictive attributive position and is somewhat more emphatic than the example above, than the ascriptive attributive position. The implication being that there are other men who are not good. All right, so what I want you to do is after we get done tonight, just read over pages 44 and 45. Really, and you know, what we just read there is really cool. It really is. That's really cool information right there, as far as I'm concerned, because we have a case of an adjective, of an attributive adjective, I'm glad, Ron. Hey, nice to have you back. The first paragraph of on the first paragraph of page 44. First paragraph of page 44. You guys want to go over this again for Ron's sake, or do you want to just blow Ron off? All right, Ron. What we're gonna do? We don't know why, but we're gonna go back. Blow.
Blow. I like that.
Oh, boy, that's Tony. Tony is really... I can listen later. We're going to go back. We just read... We can go back. Boy, that Tony, he is... I wouldn't want to meet him with a handgun. Hold on a second. 30 seconds. I'm nice. Okay. All right, here we are again. That's all right, Ron. You don't have to be sorry. What are you going to do? You know, I'm glad you're back. Okay, Ron, on the top of page 44, Greek adjectives are used in three distinct ways. Attributively, predicatively, and substantively. Attributively, predicatively, and substantively. The attributive adjective. Now, I told you that I thought that the knowledge on pages 44 and 45 was beautiful, and it is. The attributive adjective attributes a quality to the noun it modifies, as in ha, agathos, anthropos, the good man. notice that the adjective in this example stands between the definite article, which is ha, and the noun, which is anthropos. Ha, agathos, anthropos. This position is called the ascriptive attributive position. Therefore, this is an attributive adjective. A Greek adjective may also follow the noun, though in this case the adjective as well as the noun must have the article, as in ha anthropos, ha agathos, the good man, literally the man, the good one. This latter position is called the restrictive attributive position and is somewhat more emphatic than the ascriptive attributive position that we saw above, the implication being that there are other men who are not good. Attributive adjectives in the English occasionally occur in postposition, as he preached about life everlasting, or God Almighty will save you. In John 10:11, the restrictive attributive adjective is used of Jesus, as in ha poimen, ha kalas, the good shepherd. Let's look at that. All right? So what I want you to do now is turn to John 10:11. Turn to John 10:11 in whatever you got. Okay, if you've got the Byzantine, turn to that. And if you've got a interlinear, turn to that. And I've got the Byzantine, and I've got what was called Hendrickson's interlinear. Yeah, usually they're all pretty good, but then what I want to do is I want to point out to you that what we just learned actually occurs in your Koine Greek New Testament. All right. So if you have an interlinear, you look at John 10:11. Let's look at that. John 10:11. And in the Greek, I have the Koine Greek this. I'm going to read the Koine Greek, all right? It reads, ego, eimi, ego, eimi, ha, poimen, ha, kalas, ha, poimen, ha, kalas, tain, fuxain, autu. And what that means in the English is this: I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And what we're going to see there, and what we're going to see is we're going to see an example of an attributive, let me get this right, a restrictive attributive adjective. And this is it right here. Out of the Byzantine, it's ego, eimi, ho, poimen, ho kalas. And the ho poimen, ho kalas is the shepherd, the good, emphasizing the fact that there are other shepherds that are not good. That's page 220, correct, in the Byzantine text, in verse 11. Ego eimi, ha poimen, ha kalas. Ha poimen, ha kalas. The shepherd, the good. That is to say, that Christ is the good shepherd, and there are other shepherds that are not good. All right, so there, right in your New Testament, you see for your own eyes an example of a restrictive, attributive, adjective. All right? That's really cool, as far as I'm concerned. Back to page 44 in your text, observe that the adjective in the attributive position immediately follows the article. Observe the adjective in the attributive position immediately follows the article, as in ha kalas. Kalas means good. Kalas. And it follows the definite article ha. The shepherd, the good. In contrast to the attributive, we're back on page 44 in the text. In contrast to the attributive adjective, an adjective may also be used as a complement of the verb to be. You know, and if you really get into this, this is cool stuff. It is. It just is. If you really put some brain cells into this, it's really kind of cool. Even when the verb is only implied, here it is said to be the predicate adjective, because it tells us what is predicated of or asserted about a person or a thing. That is to say, the man is good. In this use, the adjective in the Greek is placed either before or after the article, and it's noun, but never between the article and its noun. That's interesting. Let me read that again. Go back up to number 2. In contrast to the attributive adjective, an adjective may also be used as the complement of the verb to be, even when the verb is only implied. Here it is said to be the predicate adjective because it tells us what is predicated of or asserted about a person or a thing. That is to say, the man is good. In this use, the adjective in the Greek is placed either before or after the article and its noun, but never between the article and its noun. Now we're gonna, you know, what you have to do is you have to look at these examples and get this down. You know, what's going on here. Now, you know, this will help you understand your Greek New Testament, so I think it's pretty cool. This position is called the predicate position, and the adjective used in this way is called the predicate adjective. Thus, the man is good may be expressed as either ha anthropos agathos, or agathos ha anthropos. Now what you have to do is you look at this example of a noun and the adjective, and you go back up to the top half of the page and look at the difference. In the attributive adjectives, we had ha, agathos, anthropos. Here we have ha, anthropos, agathos, or agathos, ha, anthropos. The adjective, which is agathos, is not in between the definite article and the noun, as it is in example number 1 above. Do you see that? And, you know, I mean, this is like learning how to play chess. You know, but, you know, once you start letting your eyeballs go over the Greek, you're going to notice this. You're gonna notice in your New Testament, hey, you got a definite article, you got an adjective, and then a noun. Well, hey, that must be an attributive adjective. And then if you say, oh, well, wait a minute, you got an adjective, and then you got a definite article and a noun. Well, that must be a predicate adjective. All right, I mean, that, you know, that's a rule that if you put some brain cells to it, you can learn and you can see. All right, so that's why I think this is really cool, because you can see this. And we saw an example of an attributive adjective in John 10. We're going to look at Romans 7, and we're going to see an example of a predicate adjective. And see, you know, I would imagine that you can find more examples of these if you put some elbow grease into your learning, so to speak. You know what I mean? Yeah, sure you do. Notice that whereas in the attributive position, the article immediately precedes the adjective, as in ha agathos anthropos, in the predicate position, there is no immediate preceding the article. There is no immediately preceding the article. This means that it is possible for the Koine Greek to drop the verb to be without any confusion in meaning. Let's look at Romans 7. All right, so we're going to look at an example of a predicate adjective in Romans 7. So let's look there. Romans 7. Get out your interlinear. Awesome. Romans 7. Hey, let me tell you, folks, you're far and beyond where you were 2 years ago, even if you don't know it. You know, I mean, look at all the material we've gone over so far. Amen, man. And even if you don't fully understand it, if somebody mentioned these things, you'll say, hey, yeah, I went over that, and, you know, let me take another look at it, and you can pick up on it a lot quicker than you did 2.5 years ago. That's going to be a for sure. No doubt about it. Let's turn to Romans 7, verse 12. Romans 7. Now, okay, in the... And when you look at your Byzantine text, on the top of the books, they have capital letters, and it says pas, piro, omicron, sigma, and pas. That just means according to. You know, pas Romans, according to Romans. Pas Corinthians A, that's according to Corinthians 1. You know, so when you're looking at a Greek New Testament, you're like, what's pas mean? It just means according to. That's it. No problem. So, turning to Romans 7, which in your Byzantine text is on page 362. And then in your interlinear, let's look at Romans 7, verse 12. And it reads in the Koine Greek. I'm going to read the Koine Greek as best as I can. Romans 7:12. Osita hamen namas hagias kai he entoile hagia kai dekaia kai agathein ta un agathon. Okay, well, I went a little bit over there. I went past verse 12. Let me read verse 12 again. Well, actually, you know, I tried to pronounce it the best I could. Verse 12. And the English reads, so indeed the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. We know that agathon is good. All right, so let's turn to the Byzantine text, verse 12, on page 362, and the Koine Greek reads, osita hamen namas hagiois kai he entole hagia kai dikaya kai agathe. And that in the English again is, so indeed the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Now, looking at Romans 7:12, we notice that an example of the predicate adjective is seen in the Greek forms. Look at your Greek. It is ha men namas hagiois. Kai he entole hagia. The law is holy and the commandment is holy. Although the New Testament writers generally use the verb to be with predicate adjectives, in cases where there is no verb, you must be able to distinguish between the attributive and predicate position. All right, so let's look back at this again, so we get this down. We know that the rule, according to an attributive adjective, is that the adjective cannot be between the definite article, or that it is, it can be between the definite article and the noun, as in ho hagias or ho agathos anthropos, the good man. In the predicate position, or the predicate example of Koine Greek adjectives, the adjective cannot come between the definite article and the noun. All right, so if we look at Romans 12, and we see the Greek forms hamen namas hagiais, hagias, what that means is that the law is holy, and we notice that hagias, which is holy, comes after the noun namas, and it doesn't come in between the definite article and the noun. Can you see that in your Greek text? Okay, well, so we can notice in Romans 7:12 that in the Greek, when we read ha men namas hagias, that hagias means holy, namas means the law, and that hagias does not come in between the definite article and the subject, which is namas, so it must be a predicate adjective. Now, you know, it's like swimming. You get thrown in there, you're like, oh man, you're kind of just trying to stay above water. Yeah, but at least you're in there. All right, so we're in there. We're getting wet. All right, so that's all you got to worry about. All right, so the thing of it is that you know there's three different types of adjectives. So far, you've gone through two different types of adjectives. You know how to identify them. All of us here tonight have the brain power and the Holy Spirit. We can identify them. You're in the water, it's great. All right? So you just take what you've learned and you go into it. All right? Because you can do it. It's right here. And so you know how to determine between an attributive and a predicative adjective already. You know how to do it. It's right there. It's right in the scriptures. You can see it. Okay? So the thing of it is that as you go on, and as we will go on, we're going to run into more examples of these two examples of adjectives. Needless to say, there's a third example. the substantive adjective. We have the attributive, the predicative, predicative, and substantive adjective. Finally, at the bottom of page 44, finally, as in English, the Koine Greek adjective may serve as a noun, that is, as a substantive. Only the good die young. Well, that's only the good die young. That's, you know, that's a bunch of hooey. Oh, sorry. A word to the wise is sufficient. This use is called the substantival adjective. All right, that's when an adjective serves as a noun. In the Koine Greek, this function of the adjective is considerably more common than in English. And in Koine Greek can use its endings to make distinctions, we're on page 45 now, that are impossible with English adjectives. Hence, the masculine hoi, agathoi, means the good men, or the good people. But the feminine, chai, agathai, and the neuter, cha, agatha, mean the good women and the good things, respectively. Likewise, an adjective may be used substantively in the singular, as in ha agathas, the good man, or he agathe, the good woman. Some words among them, or some forms among them, as hamartolas, sinner, were originally adjectives, but were used so frequently as nouns that they are normally regarded as both. A New Testament example of a substantival adjective is found in Matthew 13:19. Here we go. Turn to Matthew 13:19. Turn to Matthew 13:19 in your interlinear. And, you know, we just got a little bit of time left, 15 minutes or so. Matthew 13:19. That's on page 27 of your Byzantine text. Matthew 13:19. And I'm going to read it in the Koine. It reads, Tantos akus antas ton logon tes basileas kai me sunetas erkete ha paneras kai hertaxe ta es parmenon en te cardia autu. And in the English, that means everyone hearing the word of the kingdom and not understanding, then the evil one comes and catches away that which was sown in his heart. And in Matthew 13:19, the evil one, ha pareras, comes and snatches away that which has been sown. So an example of a substantive adjective is ta pareras, the evil one. The evil one. It should be, and you know, as I said to you, it would be a good idea for you guys to go over pages 44 and 45. Just kind of read that over. Mull that over. Also, too, with these paradigms, you know, it's really not going to do you any good unless you write them down. These endings. You know, you have to, at least if you write them down, you're going to start getting used to them, like anything else. Page 45 in the middle. It should be noted that agreement of adjectives does not necessarily mean that an adjective will have the same suffixes as a noun, although this frequently happens, as if we needed that. Grammatical agreement may take place even when there is a lack of phonetic agreement. An example is hoi agathoi ma thete, the good disciples. Here the endings hoi and I, ma thetai, I, are in agreement, even though they differ in both spelling and pronunciation. Later we will study a large group of adjectives that belong to the third declension. All right, and I'm just going to, what I'm going to do is I'm going to skip the rest of that, move down to the end of the page there where it says the attributive adjective. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go over examples of the attributive adjectives, the predicate adjective, the substantival adjective, reach the vocabulary, and then we'll be done. All right, so here we go. The attributive adjective. Ha agathos anthropos, the good man. Or, ha anthropos ha agathos, the man, the good. A predicate adjective. Ha anthropos agathos, notice the difference. The man is good. Or agathos ha anthropos, good, the man. Now, this is when you use a predicate adjective, there's more emphasis that whoever is good is good because others are not. That's really important. That is. I mean, you have to admit that. Turning to page 46, the substantival adjective. Ha agathos, the good man. Hoi agathoi, the good men. Hey agathai, the good woman. Hi agathai, the good women. Ta agathon, the good thing. Ta agatha, the good things. Consonant stem adjectives. Well, we're just going to read these forms and their meaning. And then that'll do it for tonight. And vocabulary. One night or two nights, what I'm going to do is just go over vocabulary, I think. Greek forms, vocabulary, what they are, what they look like, what they mean. I think, you know, I think that would be good too, but, you know, that's all in the future if a couple of these guys tonight don't get too old, eh? Agathos means good. Agapetos, beloved. Alas means other. Dunatas means powerful. Ekastas, each or every. Es exatas, last. Kainas means new. Kakas means bad. Kalas means good or beautiful. Manas means only. Pistas, that's a correct pronunciation, it's pistas. Pistas means faithful. Protas means first. Sophas means wise. Tritas means third. Epsilon iota rho stem adjectives. Hagias, very important one, means holy or saint. And as this we find some problems with translations, especially in the King James Version when it comes to our calling and our inheritance in Ephesians 1. They mistranslate Hagias and put saint down instead of the Holy of Holies where our inheritance is. So it's very important. Axias, worthy. Deuteras, second. Dekaias, righteous. Eteras, other or different. Esuks, or Esku, Yeah. Escuras, meaning strong. Makarias, blessed. Mikras, meaning small or little. Mikras, actually, I'm sorry. Mikras. Mikras, small or little. Nekras, dead. Neas, new. Paneras, evil. And some two-terminal adjectives. We know what a two-terminal adjective is. Adunatas, impossible. Aeonias, interesting, eternal. Akathartas, unclean, where we get catharsis from. And apistas, unbelieving or faithless. All right, folks, well, I hope that at least I set some groundwork to allow you to move through the adjective section here. And I think we should all be able to do that. Again, we all got our work cut out for us, but I believe that it's good for you guys to have a good interlinear. I'm going to send anybody that needs a Byzantine text, just say, I need a Byzantine text, and I'll send you one. So Rod needs one. Anybody else need one? I mean, I got 15 of them. One here. Rod needs one. Anybody else? Oh, you know, I need two dozen. Okay, I can get them, you know, I can get them. If you buy them in bulk, you can get them pretty cheap, you know, from this bookstore I know in, believe it or not, North Carolina. So I'll send Ron one, and then next time we're going to be, it's going to be next weekend. There you go. Next weekend at the same time, we're going to be going over half of Lesson 7, all right? And then the next time we're going to go over the second half of Lesson 7, the next time we're going to go over Lesson 8, and the next time we're going to go over Lesson 9. And then what we can do is we can come back and have questions, go over vocabulary, go over things again. But I think that it's important that, you know, we're going to get into a couple of more cases, the imperfect and the aorist, and then we're going to get into the very, very important prepositions, you know, that tell us about into, out of, under, over. You know, that's really important. And I think it's good that we get into that stuff so that at least you have a taste of it, you know, rather than, yeah, sure, no problem. It's good for me, believe me. I set my goal to learning this pretty well if before I croak here in the flesh. So I'm going to do this, and just having you guys here is really helpful because, you know, I mean, if you got a responsibility, you know, then you can't shrink away from it. So I'm really glad that you guys are here. So thanks again, and I'd like to end this with a word of prayer to our mighty God, our dear Heavenly Father, through your Son, the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. He is our all. Certainly, we probably don't fully understand the mighty things that He's done for us. You know, He came in the flesh, God in the flesh. Something to get our minds around that. That in itself is incredible. He's the creator of all things. He stepped in His own creation. That's phenomenal that to save His own creation. Your word testifies of that. We cannot, you know, in this flesh, our flesh is just born in sin, and we pray that we might help you, have your help in the Spirit, that we might understand your word. We can understand things of you here. There's no doubt about it. You set your good works are in us. They're going to be worked out through us. And we pray that we make correct decisions in our lives, that we would turn our time over to you. And so that you can fulfill your good pleasure in us. For if we have our hearts and minds straight, we understand that this would be our goals. And we thank you for each other. We love each other so very much. And we know that without you, that wouldn't be possible. But with you, what a great thing that we have amongst each other. that we love each other in you, and we're going to live forever with each other. Luckily, we're not going to live with each other in the flesh forever, which is, you know, because of sin problematic. But we know that we're going to be manifested together, and we look for that, and we pray that that we lean to your strength, resurrection power, that we understand these things. What we pray is we pray that we might understand the things that you would have us to understand in our short period of time here. Again, we pray that you'd keep us, whatever we face, Lord, whatever we face, we pray that we might understand that you allow it, that you're with us. You are with us through the mountaintops. You're with us through the valleys. You're with us through pain in ourselves. You're with us through pain in other people. You're with us through all of it, and you're with us in the fact that we have been saved, redeemed, blessed, seated with you. That is unchangeable. And we pray that our minds might be on those things rather than things that decay. In the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, amen.